Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cuban Five Attorneys Comment on Court Decision Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Gloria Lariva. Ms. Lariva, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. We are going to begin the press conference now for the attorneys of the Cuban Five to speak to the press in response to yesterday's 11th Circuit Court decision on the case of the Cuban Five. We will have speakers Richard Clue, who is the attorney for Fernando Gonzalez, and the Deputy Chief of Appeals for the Federal Public Defender's Office in Miami. We will have Paul McKenna, who is the attorney for Gerardo Hernandez, Marjorie Cohen, President of the National Lawyers Guild, and Andres Gomez and myself, who are coordinators of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five. We will also give information on the demonstrations taking place in the United States, Canada, and many other countries this week. We want to emphasize first that the Cuban Five should never have been arrested. They were saving lives. They were peacefully opposing terrorism. And we are going to continue until they are free. So we will begin now with Richard Clue, who is the attorney for Fernando Gonzalez.
Good afternoon. Mr. Gonzalez is identified as Ruben Campa in the decision. The decision is titled United States versus Campa. The court, two years after the en banc court, in a divided opinion, affirmed the district court's rulings regarding the venue in Miami for the trial, has issued a new opinion, a new decision. This is the third decision in the case. In this decision, the court has vacated the sentences of three of the defendants. Two of the defendants who had life sentences, and a third defendant, my client, who had a sentence of 19 years. The court affirmed the convictions of the defendants. However, with regard to the most prominent charge in the indictment, that accusing Gerardo Hernandez of complicity in what is called the Brothers to the Rescue shootdown, the court was sharply divided in its opinion yesterday. In a lengthy dissent, Judge Kravich held that concluded that there were, for several reasons, insufficient evidence, both factually and legally, to sustain a conviction for conspiracy to commit murder. The deciding vote on the court, Judge Birch concluded that the issue presented a very close question and was one that he acknowledged that what the dissent had said was significant. The case basically came down to three major categories of issues raised by the defendants. One was that the trial process was unfair, you know, given governmental actions in setting up the venue for the case in Miami and in engaging in arguments and presentation of evidence that was unduly prejudicial. The second category was that the sentencing result was excessive, with three of the defendants having received life sentences. And the third category was that the evidence with regard to the most serious offenses was insufficient. And even though the court did not reverse the conspiracy convictions, the court did, in reversing the life sentences of two of the defendants, hold that the defendants had not done the severe damage that would have called for such a life sentence. and left in remanding to the district court, directed that the court consider the defendant's arguments that, in fact, they should not only not receive the guideline sentence, which would be substantially lower than what they presently have, but that the court should also consider a downward departure for offenses involving no serious harm to the United States. And so that is where we stand right now. We, after 7 years of the appellate process, this is the first resolution of all of the appellate claims. Now that we have the first resolution, we are considering requesting review by the full 11th Circuit of these issues. And we are further continuing to prepare for the possibility of seeking relief in the United States Supreme Court, as the two of the judges in this the three-judge panel have strongly urged. Indeed, in one of the three opinions in yesterday's decision, the presiding judge reiterated his strong belief, not only that the conviction with regard to the shootdown was in question, but that the issues relating to the trial process are so substantial and so important that the United States Supreme Court should hear them. And so that is where we stand right now, and I defer to any other speakers.
Thank you, Richard. We will now hear from Paul McKenna, who is the attorney for Gerardo Hernandez.
Yes. Well, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I was very disappointed by the opinion that I read yesterday by the Court of Appeals. But I'd also be lying if I didn't say that I still have a lot of hope, and I still have a lot of expectations in this case that we can do better. The dissent that was written by Judge Kravitz was, I thought, a very strong dissent. She came out and, as Richard said, stated that she didn't believe that there was sufficient evidence to sustain the murder conspiracy conviction. And the way that her opinion was written, it was almost as though she followed all the evidence that was presented by the defense, all the incursions by Mr. Basulto into Cuba, all the events that led up to the shootdown. And she put it in a full context, which wasn't done in the majority opinion. And I was grateful for that. And I'm very grateful for Judge Kravitz's very clear dissent. And I think that there is a legal issue in the conspiracy to commit murder charge that is very complex and may well require... Hold on just a second.
Thank you.
May well require an en banc review. The majority court, and this is sort of complex legal stuff, but the majority court believed that we did not have to, or that the government did not have to prove that Hernandez conspired to shoot aircraft down in international waters. And Judge Kravitz found that they did. Now, Judge Kravitz's opinion is the same as the majority's in some respects, but it's very different in other respects. Just to sort of simplify it, Judge Kravitz looks at the statute, which requires there be an unlawful act for there to be any basis for a murder conspiracy conviction. And she found that what was happening in this case, Cuba trying to enforce its own borders and its own sovereignty, what they were doing and what Hernandez believed they were doing was not an unlawful act. And that's what I tried to present as evidence at our jury trial. And I was very encouraged by Judge Kravitz's opinion, the way she wrote it, the way she followed all the evidence, almost in the exact manner that I had presented it. Now, the key to this opinion on the murder conspiracy was Judge Birch. And Judge Birch, as Richard Hoops mentioned, stated that it was a very close issue. And I have to tell you that when you know that you are so close and then you don't get there, that's very disappointing after 7 years and 10 years actually working on this case on behalf of Gerardo. But I will tell you, the fight is definitely not over. The fight is far from over, and this may go on for years to come. Judge Birch, in his opinion, suggested that the Supreme Court of the United States review this case, because Judge Birch, even though he upheld the conviction, stated that he still believes that the trial that all of these five men had was flawed, and it requires a reversal based on the fact that we had a poor venue for this case, which was Miami. We could have had a better venue by just going an hour outside of Miami or 45 minutes outside of Miami. So I am disappointed, but I'm also ready to keep fighting. And, you know, no one is going to give up. And that's just sort of the mantra right now. It's don't give up, and we're not going to give up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. We will now hear from Marjorie Cohn, president of the National Lawyers Guild.
Yes, hi. I agree with the comments that have been made, and I think that it's very significant that in the one-page concurrence of Judge Birch, who said that it was such a close case on the sufficiency of the evidence for a conspiracy to commit murder, he actually would have reversed that except for the standards of review that he was bound to follow. He is the one who dissented in the case, in the change of venue case, and change of venue means that you move a case out of an area because the defendant wouldn't be able to get a fair trial. And what Judge Birch said when he suggested in his concurrence here that the Supreme Court, that the petition be made for certiorari to the Supreme Court to decide this change of venue issue, he said, this is what he wrote, the defendants were subjected to such a degree of harm based upon demonstrated pervasive community prejudice that their conviction should have been reversed. And this is really significant because during the trial, the Bush administration paid journalists to write unfavorable stories about Cuba, and anti-Cuban extremists tried to intimidate jurors, and prospective jurors admitted that they would be afraid to return not guilty verdicts against the Cuban Five. And anti-Cuban sentiment has tainted all possibility of a fair trial for these five men since their original arrest and confinement. So I think that while we need to really dissect and analyze the legal issues here, and I believe that this was a severe blow, although three of the sentences were reversed and remanded back to the district court for resentencing because they were excessive. Two of them because there was no top secret information that was gathered or transmitted, and the other who was shown not to be a manager or supervisor. So they will be resentenced, and that is a small victory. It's actually a great victory, but certainly the affirmance of the conviction and sentence on the conspiracy to commit murder is outrageous. And keep in mind that prosecutors frequently charge conspiracy in political cases because they can actually throw a very wide net, and it gets very mushy, and they don't really have to prove exactly what was agreed to or what acts were committed. They do need to under the law, but oftentimes the jury is confused about this, and you can get the same sentence for conspiracy that you can for the actual crime. So I think it's important to keep in mind that while we analyze these legal issues, we also shouldn't forget the political context, which is a nearly 50-year policy of the U.S. government to isolate and punish the Cuban people because our government doesn't like their government. And in fact, why were these five men in the United States? They weren't armed. They didn't have classified information. They were there to gather information about terrorist acts being planned against Cuba. And there have been a number of terrorist acts. There was the first in-air bombing on a commercial airline was done in 1976, a Cubana airliner, which killed 73 people. And in fact, there are people who are walking free in Miami who have admitted responsibility for that, and yet the U.S. government refuses to prosecute them. And yet these five Cuban men who come into the United States unarmed, don't get any classified information, and they are convicted and sentenced, many of them to life sentences. So I think that we need to really keep the political context in mind while we analyze the legal arguments in this case.
Thank you, Marjorie. We'll now hear from Andres Gomez from Miami and the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five and the Alianza Martiana.
Good afternoon. I represent a number of Cuban-American organizations, six of them, that agree with the fact that these five men are innocent, that these five men were in the United States in order to protect the Cuban people from terrorist acts being planned in the United States with the full knowledge of the United States government. I am encouraged by the legal analysis that both Mr. McKenna and Mr. Klug gave, and I couldn't agree more with Marjorie in her statement that this, above all, is a political case. We have been subjected here in Miami to close to 200 terrorist acts in the past 40-some years. 70 others have been committed in the New York, New Jersey area, plus almost 30 in Puerto Rico. These terrorist activities have been organized by extreme right-wing organizations of the Cuban-American community. The United States have made this plainly evident in the classified governmental reports on these matters. There's no doubt in anyone's mind here in Miami that the terrorists are guilty of crimes that have been committed against the Cuban people for the past 40-some years, resulting in thousands of deaths and other thousands of injuries. These five men were here in order to try to stop this act from continuing to happen. The United States is a partner in these crimes, and that is why it acted against this man. The information that is available in the classified government, U.S. government sources, intelligence sources, affirm what I have said. These men are in prison and have been imprisoned, these five men, for 10 years now, coming September, while well-known terrorists, as Marjorie stated, as Luis Posada Carriles, guilty of heinous crimes, walk free in Miami thanks to government protection. We will not give up. The lawyers will not give up. Those who support the lawyers, the cause of the five, will not give up. And we will continue denouncing not only the injustice being committed against these five innocent men, but the protection that the United States government has given the terrorists guilty of such horrible crimes. Thank you.
Thank you, Andres. The National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, along with more than 325 committees around the world, have been organizing on the struggle for their freedom since their conviction. Every day, more and more people hear about the Cuban Five and the unjustness of their imprisonment. They should never have been arrested. They are heroes to people around the world. And as a result of their support, already demonstrations are being planned for tomorrow and the coming days, including today, in New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, Minneapolis, Detroit, Washington, Vancouver, Toronto, a press conference tomorrow in Miami, and more are joining in from around the world. We will now take questions, and before that, I wish to say that we also demand, with the supporters of the Cuban Five, the right for wives of two of the Cuban Five, Adriana Perez, the wife of Gerardo Hernandez, who has a double life sentence, and Olga Salanueva, the wife of Rene Gonzalez, who is in Mariana Prison in Florida, the right for them to enter the United States to visit their husbands, and for the U.S. government to stop delaying the visas for the rest of the family members. It's a cruel punishment to the Five and to the Five's families to deny Olga and Adriana the right to enter and to see their husbands, and for the rest of the families to wait up to 2 years for visas. We'll now take questions from the media.